wants us to do. That's his strategy against you. Anything that God wants you to do, the enemy wants you to do opposite. The strategy of the enemy is to go opposite of what God goes. And so we're going to look at some things tonight, and we want to look at what the purpose of the church is and why do we have the church? Why do we come to the church? What are we supposed to do as a body of believers? And as we're supposed to do these things, the strategy of the enemy is going to be to stop these things from happening. He doesn't want them to happen because this is what God wants. This is what we're supposed to do. And so it becomes quite easy to figure out his strategy. And so you can turn over to Ephesians chapter 1, and we're going to read verse 12 just in a moment of time here. But we need to think about this. We're talking about what the enemy wants to do against the church, but why does the church exist? Why do we have the church? Why does God want people together in his name? It's in God's word. It's not a man-made thing. There's some people that think this gathering together and having a temple or a church or a place of worship, whatever you want to call it, it's just man's way of creating a religion, and it's man's way of creating income for somebody and all the monies that come in, just getting wealthy off of it. But they gathered, even in the New Testament. They would gather, and even before the time of the death of Christ, it was as his custom was, he went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day. Now listen to that. Think about that. Jesus himself, our example, the Son of God, thought it important enough when he was here upon this earth in a body form like you have a body tonight. Jesus went to the Sabbath on the synagogue. It doesn't say that he went to somebody else's house and had fellowship with them. It doesn't say that he went out fishing with them. He went out on the lake with them, and he was just having fellowship because that's what the church is. We don't need to gather. That theology, that teaching is out there today. But Jesus himself went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day because it was his custom. And it's okay to have a custom to come to the church on the Lord's Day. We don't come on the Sabbath day now. I know the ones that are here realize it, but Sunday is not the Sabbath day. Saturday is the Sabbath day, but we come and gather the first day of the week, and it's okay to have that custom.
Yeah.
So why did the disciples gather on the first day of the week? Why did they gather in the New Testament? They would gather in homes. They went from house to house breaking bread. Yes, they did that, but they also gathered in other places because that day, that time that Peter preached to them, and that was right after the day of Pentecost, or on that day, there was 3,000 souls added to the Lord in that one day. That couldn't happen in somebody's house. It couldn't happen. 3,000 people don't fit in a house. So they were in a place that was a large place. And so they gathered together. And when Paul was teaching, and somebody just shared this a short time ago in a sermon somewhere, where when he was preaching, and maybe it was in our Sunday school class, and that man fell out of the window. He was on the third floor, and he fell out of a window. They were in a gathering place. They gathered together, not to have supper, not just to have fellowship, drinking coffee and breaking bread. They were gathered there for the purpose of drawing nearer to God. And they were so hungry for God that they spent all night long there drawing questions out of Paul. And he was answering, or drawing answers out of Paul. They were asking him questions about things they didn't understand. And that one man fell asleep, but who knows what that one young man fell asleep, but who knows what his day had consisted of, how tired he had become. And it was probably hot in that room that they were in, but the rest of the congregation, they weren't sitting there slumbering and sleeping and nodding off. I believe they were wide awake. They were hungry for what God had. And so what's the purpose of the church? Why does it exist? Does it exist to help me to help meet the needs that you have, the needs that your family have? Is that the only reason that the church exists? So that it can meet the needs that you have, so it can meet the needs that your family has? Is the church only here? Is the only purpose of the church, is it only here to win the world for Christ? Is that why we're here? What's the purpose of the church? Is it here, and some people think it is, that the church exists to right the wrongs of the world, the social wrongs that they had? The church is here to correct them, to change them. And there are churches that do it, and I'm not saying it's wrong if it's done in the right motive and in the right attitude and the way that God would want them to do it. But the church doesn't exist to correct the social wrongs. Yes, it's okay to have the right to life marches in Washington and to maybe march against an abortion clinic, but our job is not to change the social wrongs. That's not the purpose of the church. There were all kinds of social wrongs in Paul's day. We think we're living in a wicked day. In Paul's day, if you would do a study, in Paul's day, the world was really a wicked place. There was a lot of wickedness that was going on at the time that Jesus showed up on the scene. And then it was years later before Paul came onto the scene. There was a lot of bad stuff going on. And never once in any of Paul's writings do you ever see him in any of his writings telling the churches and the Christians to rise up against the government. Let's go out in the streets and protest. It's not right what they're doing. They didn't do that. That's not the reason that the church exists. And that doesn't, and I'm not saying that it's not okay to do a right to life thing or those kinds of things in the right sense and in the right way. But if we think our job is to fix the social wrongs that are in this world, we're badly mistaken. Jesus didn't come into this world to fix the social wrongs. When he came into this world, he left this world. The world was still a wicked place when he left.
Yeah.
He didn't come out and correct all the social wrongs. People are going to do what they're going to do. So let's look at this tonight. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 12. We're just going to look at three ideas. And this was something that I read and I liked it. And I thought, I'm going to share this. Because sometimes we lose focus of our purpose and why we gather in the church and why we have the church. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 12 says this. That we should be to the praise of his glory who first trusted in Christ. And then in a moment, I'm going to turn over there now. I'm going to find it in a moment. Before I say anything else, I'm going to find this. We're going to look over to 1 Peter chapter 2 in verse 9. And so read in Ephesians 1:12. And reading 1 Peter 2:9. Let's read that. And then we're going to share this idea. 1 Peter chapter 2 in verse 9, we're talking about one of the reasons that the church exists, but ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people. And here you go. Here's one of the purposes of the church, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. One of the reasons that God instituted the church and wanted that is to exalt him, is to give praise to him. That's one of the things that the church should do. Amen. He wants us to exalt him. He wants us to glorify him. Amen. He wants us to glorify his name. And so Satan's strategy is to stop this. Amen. To exalt God, be glorified. And we know God who gave us life. We glorify him. We want to know the God who gave us life. And we can sing that song. And we can get in the spirit. It's a good song. I exalt. I exalt thee, O Lord. And you start singing out a few times and your spirit will be lifted. That's one of the purposes of the church, is to exalt the Lord. It's to praise the Lord. Right. It's to lift him up. But in 1 Peter 2:9, it's to proclaim the praises of him who hath called you. We proclaim his praises. We magnify your name. We lift you up, O God. We worship you, O God. Amen. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. And so you start praising God and you exalt him and you lift up his name and you make it all about him and not about anything else. You start exalting him and lifting him up. His glory comes down. That's one of the purposes of the church. And so as we know that that's one of the purposes of the church, amen, Satan's strategy is to stop this, that we don't exalt God. And he has done that in many churches. We need to be very, very careful about the types of songs that we sing in church. Any song that we sing should exalt God, should bring glory to him. But sad to say, in many churches, and even in Pentecostal churches, churches that are not, that are sung, are not exalting God. They are lifting us up. They are songs that make us feel good. Down inside, and we get all excited about it. A little bit of that's probably okay, but that's not exalting God. But when we sing songs that exalt God, and somebody might be able to help me and name it real quick, but the people from Silver Springs, at the fellowship on Friday night, the song that they sang here on the piano, the Wombles family,
Chain
it was,
breaker.
Huh?
Chain Breaker.
He's the chain breaker. He's the chain breaker. They sung that song. That's an example of a song that exalts God. It's a song of worship and a song of praise to Him. When I think about the words of that song, I can do nothing but think about God and about His goodness. And so Satan sometimes gets a foothold within churches because we sing songs that we exalt ourselves. We lift ourselves up, and that's not the purpose of the church. And so the devil will try to get your praise one way or another. If you're going to praise God and do it from your heart, and he knows you're going to do it, he'll try to lead you astray and get you to sing songs that bring self-glory to yourself. And it's okay to sing it. It's okay to sing it, and I'm not saying it's not, but too many times, and I like to sing these songs too, but what glory does it give to God? And you'll get excited because we like the song. When I sing the song, oh, I feel good. I feel good just to know I've been redeemed. It makes me feel good. That's okay. But how is that bringing real praise and exalting God? You understand what I'm saying? Not that we're going to stop singing those kinds of songs here, because I like those songs here. But we need to sing songs that exalt God, that lift up His name, that praise His name. Because we are, in 1 Peter 2:9, we are to proclaim the praises of Him who hath called us. Oh, we praise You, O Lord. God, we magnify Your name. We lift You up on high. Lift Jesus higher. Lift Jesus higher. Singing songs like that. We can sing songs, oh, how I love Jesus. Amen. Songs that make us exalt God and want to exalt God. That's one of the purposes of the church. One of the purposes of the church. And we're going somewhere with this, so don't get nervous. The second purpose of the church, you can turn over to Colossians chapter 1, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. Amen. I'll just help you a little bit there to find it. Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 28, the reason for the church, the reason that we do this. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 28, whom we preach. This is another purpose of the church. First, it was to exalt God, edify Him, lift Him up. Here's the second one. Whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. And now I'm going over to Ephesians, and then we're going to talk about this for a moment. Ephesians chapter 4, and we're going to read verses 11 through 15. We want to read this. And he gave some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. For what? The purpose of the church. For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Why? Till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lay in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into Him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. And so the second purpose of the church is to edify the saints. And that when we're edifying the saints, that means we're teaching every man. We're warning every man. We're lifting them up. We're lifting them up. Mm-hmm. We are encouraging them in the Lord. That's the purpose of the church. We come to exalt God. We come to praise God. And then we come to be taught, that we teach every man, that we teach every man, that we warn every man. And that scripture that I read in the Colossians 1:28, I'm just going to look at that again. Whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom. That's the second purpose of the church. For some people, the only purpose of the church is to come in and exalt Jesus and lift Him up, and that's the end of it. There's no teaching that goes on whatsoever. And that was the problem, amen, that happened in our country, and I think it was a worldwide move that happened probably back in the 80s and maybe into the 90s, and it was called the Charismatic Movement. Man, those people, they wanted the Spirit of God, they wanted the worship, and they wanted to praise God, but they didn't want any kind of teaching whatsoever. Nobody, you couldn't sit them down and teach them anything about God. All they wanted to do is worship and praise God. And God showed up, God honored that, but we're going somewhere with this, and you're going to see the problem if you take any one of these three things that we're looking at tonight, and I have one more here, and you just get stuck on any one of them, you've got a problem. Amen. Any church that does just any one of these, they've got a problem. They need to do all three of them. If you have a church that just exalts and praise God, and it's all praise and worship, and they don't have any teaching, they're falling short. Because God wants us to teach, and He wants us to warn every man, and teaching every man in all wisdom. Why? And then we go over to Ephesians 4:15. People need to be taught so that they, it says that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men. That's why you find unsteady and unstable Christians, because they haven't taken the time to sit down and be taught the Word of God. It's important to understand the Word of God. It's important that somebody teaches you the Word of God. It's important for you to sit down at times and have teaching sessions. Oh, I come to church. I like to feel the Holy Ghost. I like to hear the Hammond organ. I like to get the drums going. We like to hear the piano. We like to get somebody up and worship. Oh, we all like that. But there's times you need to sit down and be quiet and be taught the Word of God. You need to be warned about things in the Word of God. It equally works itself together. We have that time of praise and worship. We have that time of teaching. That's the second thing that we need to do. The devil doesn't want anybody to receive teaching. Oh, they think it's boring. And it's almost like the young man said tonight, his dad shared with me, and I understand that, and children are innocent in their innocence. They're just very upfront and just call it the way they see it. And they came into the church, and he was being a little bit noisy. And his dad says, well, you got to be quiet now because they're praying. And his comment was, I don't like that part. There's a lot of people that don't like the part of the teaching of the Word of God. And the ladies are going to start meeting here. The first time is going to be the 25th of January. That is the teaching of the Word of God. Those times are important. Not to say that the Spirit of God can't fall in that house when that teaching's going on. I pray that it does happen that way. But we need to sit down and be taught and listen to the Word of God. It's very important. And the enemy doesn't want you to get any grasp of anything, of any of the, and it's all truth. And so I got to be careful how I phrase that. He doesn't want you to grasp anything in the Word of God. It's just all false. It's no good. You don't understand it. You're giving a misinterpretation to it. That's what your enemy wants you to do. If you're just going to glorify God, the enemy will have an upper hand on you. If that's all you're going to do, is just exalt Jesus all the time, never have any kind of teaching or preaching, being warned of things to watch out for and what's going on in this world, you're falling short. Because the purpose of the church is to warn them, to edify the saints. That builds them up. And the third one is this, and it's one that we all know. The third purpose of the church is to evangelize the world. And there's scriptures. We're going to look at a couple of scriptures. We're going to read some ones that you're all very familiar with. Mark chapter 16 and verse 15 says this. And it was words of Jesus. And Jesus said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Okay, that's a good idea. We all agree we should do that. So let's go to Matthew chapter 28, and let's look at another verse here where he's talking about the same thing, but it's Matthew's interpretation of it. Matthew chapter 28, verses 19 and 20. Jesus said this, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. So we exalt God. We got that. We glorify God. Us Pentecostals, we're pretty good at that. We like that. Be careful and think about it. And listen, pay attention when you're in church. And not just this church, but any church you go to. The songs that they're singing, is it something that exalts God? Or is it something that makes you feel good? There's a difference with it. There's not much depth in the song, but it's good. And it can help us get in the spirit, but there's not a lot of depth in the song, I feel good, I feel good. And I'm not saying we shouldn't sing it, because I like that song. Look what the Lord hath done. That's a little bit better, because you're exalting God. This is what God has done in my life. And I'm not picking on that one particular song, but there's a lot of songs that are sung that just give us self-glory, that just make us feel good, and it does nothing to lift Jesus up. And so you can have that. You can exalt, you can praise, and you can glorify God. You can edify the saints. That's a good thing. That means you're warning them, you're teaching them, you're preaching to them. And then after you do that, you get them to exalt God, you get them to listen to teaching and sit down, then you want them to share salvation with others. Because we want to obey the Lord. And the Lord says, go and preach the gospel to every creature. Go into all nations, preaching the gospel to every creature, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. But these three things that we looked at, you're going to exalt God, you're going to praise God. That's the reason for the church. The second reason for the church is to warn and to preach them, to warn them of the judgment and of the wrath to come, to teach them in the ways of God. And the third purpose of the church is to evangelize the world. But you have to keep these three things in balance. You can't have one way up here and the other one's there, or some of them have a certain one that they do and they don't do the other two. You got to keep the two things in balance. So we're just going to take a moment and we're going to look at the dangers of a church that's just on one trend and on one track, and the dangers of that. A church that only exalts God. All they do is praise God. I've come to praise His name. I've come to glorify His name. And the whole service is just praise and worship to God. And it's good to be in those kinds of services. It feels good. And sometimes God will even honor Himself, we'll say it that way, in a service, and you'll come in. There won't be any preaching. There won't be any testimonies. An offering might not even be taken. And the presence and the power of God comes down. And for the whole service, all you do is you exalt and you praise His name and glorify His name, and you truly can feel the presence of the Lord. And it was God that manifested Himself to you. That's good. But every service shouldn't be that way. Every service shouldn't be that way. Some might think, wow, you're going way out left field with your ideas here. Every service shouldn't be that way. Amen. You should not neglect the teaching of Scripture and evangelism. A lot of those churches, it's all about praise and exalting God. That's good, but they neglect teaching. They neglect evangelism. They're out of balance. They're out of balance. They just grab one thing and they go with it. You got to be careful with that. And I don't want that to happen here. And so if you have a church and all they do is exalt Jesus and lift Him up, they don't have any teaching. They don't have any preaching. They don't have any words given about evangelism. It's just about lifting up Jesus and worshiping Him. And that's good. What you end up with is believers that are shallow in their understanding of the Scriptures. They can't explain the Scriptures to you. They don't know what the Bible's talking about them. It's complex to them. It's complicated to them. And surely they could never understand the King James Version. I think some of the reason people can't understand the King James Version because they're too carnal in their minds. Amen. All they want to do is lift up the name of Jesus all the time. Lift up the name of Jesus. And they don't want to sit down and learn and try to get understanding of the Word of God. And so you end up with believers that are shallow in their understanding of the Scriptures, amen, and they're shallow in the in the nature and the purposes of God. They don't understand. They're worshiping this God. They can feel Him, and they do. God manifest Himself, but they don't understand the purposes of God. They don't know what's going on in their own life, and those kind of people are easy prey for false teaching. If it's just a church of praise and worship all the time, and we don't have any teaching here, we don't have any teaching, we don't do any evangelism, all we do is we praise and worship God, you would be a people that would be easy prey for false teaching, because you wouldn't know what the truth was. You just know you can feel God, you love to worship God, and that's good. God wants us to do that, but He wants us to be taught also, and He wants us to go out into this world, amen, to every person and tell them about Him. And then you'll have a church that what they do is they only edify believers and they neglect worship. You go to some churches and it's just always they're warning them of the judgment and wrath of God to come. It's just the word, the word, the word, the word, the word. And you have good teaching. And there's nothing wrong with the church that just wants to praise. That's a wonderful thing. But God wants us to balance it out. He doesn't want one church just to be praise and worship all the time, and another church just to be teaching all the time and warning people of the judgment of the wrath of God to come and just full of teaching all the time. God wants all three of these in every single church. It needs to be in there. And so the problem with the church that all this they do is they want to edify the believers. They're warning them. They're warning them. God will get you. You can't do this. You can't do that. You got to be careful. And they don't have, these churches, what they do is they neglect worship and evangelism. Their worship might be one hymn that they'll sing out of the hymnal. They'll sing one hymn. And it's this way all the time. And then it's good, solid Bible preaching and teaching all the time. That That's going to injure you in the long run. You can't have praise all the time and no teaching or no evangelism. You can't have preaching all the time and no praise or evangelism. You need all three. That's the purpose of the church. And so what they do, amen, they minimize the importance of worshiping God and reaching out to others. It's not that important that you worship God. It's not that important that you reach out and evangelize others. The important thing is that you know what this book says and are just stuck on that. They're right. That is important. But worship is also important. The Word of God is also very important. Amen. It should be above everything else. And so then what they do is they neglect. Amen. They minimize the importance of worshiping God and reaching out to others. And so what does this church become? It's a church that becomes stagnant. And it becomes stagnant. And we need to understand this. Because new believers are the life of the church. When we have a new believer come in here, they're the life of the church. There's some new believers that have come in the past few years and are drawn closer to God. Not able to be here tonight due to whatever circumstances. But I'll tell you what. When they're in here, they don't realize that they bring life to this church. They bring life to this church. I'm just not talking about children that come in on Wednesday nights, but there's adults that are new in this thing, and it just revitalizes us, and it does something good for us. But a church is just going to be teaching and teaching all the time and not evangelizing. There's not going to be any new life that comes into that church. Amen. And new life, amen, new believers in the church are the life of the church. And then you have that third church that what they like to do is evangelize. It's all evangelism. They're just doing outreaches to the community continually. Even in the area that we live from time to time, we'll get flyers from certain organizations. They're always reaching out and doing something to help the community. And we think, wow, I wish we could do more. I wish we would do more. But a church that does only evangelism and they neglect teaching, okay, warning them of the judgment and wrath of God, they neglect to teach them the Word of God, excuse me, and they don't worship like God wants them to worship. It's just all about evangelism. What do they end up with, that kind of a church? It's going to end up with immature Christians. They're not going to have much depth because they don't know anything about the Word of God. They don't know how to worship God. They're just, you're going to have a church full of, if I can say it this way without insulting anyone, you're going to have a church full of babies. Christian babies. They don't know anything about God. It's just all new to them. And that's the way it's going to be. You're going to have immature Christians. And you're going to have a church of numbers. A church of numbers. We could get a church of numbers here. I've often said that. I guarantee you this. And I'm not going to do it as an experiment. You're just going to have to trust me. If we would start to offer every Sunday morning after the morning worship service, we're going to have a full-blown, whatever your favorite meal might be. We're not going to give them steak. We're not going to do that. We're going to have a, chicken's my favorite, but we won't do chicken. We'll go with turkey for an analogy, an example I'm making today. We're going to serve a turkey dinner to everybody that comes to church on Sunday morning with all of the trimmings, free of charge. We would get numbers in this church. But those people that would come for that, we know they're coming for the bread and fishes, they won't have any spiritual depth to them. They'll be immature people and maybe not even believers just coming for the bread and fishes. And so a church that just evangelizes and for numbers, they get the numbers, but they don't have any spiritual growth in their lives. And then what can happen to those kinds of churches, they can develop feelings of guilt in the people in that church for not bringing others in. I'll use my friend down here, almost in the front row there, Riley. Well, you know, we're just using this as an example tonight. You go to some of these churches, they'll make you feel guilty. When's the last time you brought somebody to church? They'll shame you in front of everybody. There's people, there's churches that do things like that. They're so big on evangelism, they'll guilt you when you're in the church that you'll go out and actually start inviting somebody to church because they're after numbers. They want numbers. They want numbers. And that's not a good thing that they do that. And so to be a strong and a healthy church, I think you figured this out already. You need all three together. You need those times of praise and worship, adoration to God, where the Spirit of God fills the room that we're we're in. And you'll have a service from time to time where there isn't even any singing. That's happened before. It's just all praise and worship. You'll have a service from time to time. It's just all singing and giving adoration to God and praise and worship in His name. And His glory fills the house, and that's a good thing. But it shouldn't be every service. Because there needs to be times of teaching also. We come in and we teach and we preach and we warn you of things in God's Word. And you need to sit and you need to listen to that. Some people love the Word of God. They want to be taught the Word of God. Others just want the praise and worship all the time. But you need both of them. And so you need times where you sit down and you're taught the Word of God. You're learning the Word of God. And I heard a minister saying this recently. He went so far as to say this. If you don't bring a pen and a pencil or a paper to church and write down some points about the sermon that's being shared, you're not interested in learning God's Word. You're just here being entertained because you're going to forget everything that was said when you go home. He said, if you really are interested and want to learn God's Word, you're going to be making notes when the Word of God is being preached so that you can go look at those scriptures later. And you can be like the Bereans, I believe it was, I might be saying the name wrong, in the book of Acts. After they were taught, they went and searched the scriptures to see whether these things were really so, what the ones had been teaching them. Is this really what God's Word says? They searched the scripture. And so you have to be careful. Amen. You have to be careful. And then you'll have those churches that you go into. And all this it is, and I said this, is evangelism. God wants us to do that. And I'm not saying we're perfect in this church here, but we try to incorporate all three of those. And we have to keep a balance between them. And it's the Spirit of God is the one that can give us the balance in that. We all know, you all know what I'm talking about. We've been in services where the Spirit of the Lord just takes over. People will come down to the altars, and there's just praise, and there's worship going on, and your hearts and your souls are being so fed by that, and thank God that He does that. Then there's other times where there's anointed teaching and preaching that goes on, and you're just drawn from that, and you're becoming more mature in Christ. And then there's other times where there's a real emphasis on evangelism. We do that with missionaries. The bus ministry that we have in the church. You might think sometimes those kids that come in on Wednesday, you know, they're a little bit of it. We don't want to go to this extent. But in your mind, you might think they're a little bit of a bother. They're a little bit of a pain. We really have to go out of our way. Are we gaining any ground with them? And then there's times of evangelism. We go down to the park once a month through the month of June, July, August, and September. That's evangelism. We're going out. We haven't seen a lot of fruit of that labor, but we're going out. But if we just did that all the time, if we all the time never met in the church here, we're going to go out onto this street corner, onto that street corner, we're going to the park, we're going to get brave and go to the big park uptown on Main Street, and we was just doing that kind of stuff all the time and just evangelizing, and we weren't having any times of praise and worship and adoration to God, and we weren't having any times of teaching and preaching, we would be a church that's in an imbalance. God wants us to do all three. And that is the purpose of the church that God has set up in this world in the way that He wants it. You might have your preferences on those three things. You might like all the evangelism parts. You get right behind that. But the teaching part, not so much. You might be one that gets behind the praise and the worship and lifting up the name of Jesus, which we should do. And you don't want the teaching and preaching. You don't want the evangelism. You just want to come and worship God. And you feel good in the Spirit of God. And you're edified and you're lifted up in the Lord. That's good. But so is the preaching and teaching important. So is the evangelism important. And so I pray that our hearts can be changed, that we can get our focus right in this year of 2024 and understand the purpose of the church. And then finishing up with this and tying it in with what I shared this morning. So the strategy of the enemy is that you don't have any praise and worship, because that's what God wants. That you don't have any teaching and preaching. His strategy is to get you to think that teaching and preaching is just a bunch of foolishness, and you're smart. You can understand it. You don't need to sit down and have somebody teach you the Word of God. You can figure this out. That would be the strategy of the enemy, to try to sift you like wheat. And then the strategy of the enemy would be able to get you to believe evangelism in the world. Evangelism. Who am I? Look at all the churches that are around us, all the Christians in this world. Evangelism. Why are Jeff and Jamie in the Dominican Republic? Isn't there Christians down there that can share their love for Jesus and that they'll be more receptive to them because they know the culture and the custom of their own country? And why are they down there? You know, the devil can drop little thoughts in our mind like that as a strategy to discourage us from evangelism. And the biggest thing I think he does to discourage churches and people from evangelism is they're not going to listen. We canvassed this town 5.5 years ago with what we call door knockers. And we had that one family that came in. And I believe that she really was a believer, and we helped her in her spiritual walk as much as we could. And since, she has gone to meet her reward, so thank God for that. If it was only for her, it was worth it. And so there may be some other things that we want to do, possibilities that we can do. Some of our sister churches have done it, and some they're getting some results, not as much as you would like to see. But if you do these evangelism outreaches, and you just get one family or one soul that comes in, it's worth it all. There's a family that goes to the Olean Revival Center, and they have for many years. And you know why they started coming to that church? There was a door knocker put on their door. The students from Export Bible School many, many years ago was up in out doing evangelism, and they were at Olean, and they helped them. And one day, they canvassed that whole town of Olean with that group that came, plus people from the Olean church. And from that, there was an individual that come to the door of their house. What's this? They read it. They started coming to that church, and they're still going to that church to this day. Yes, it's expensive. It's work to do things like that. But we need to focus on evangelism. We need to focus on teaching and preaching. We have the Bible studies that we do. And Sister Brooke is the key pivotal person for that if you're interested in it. And some of the new converts that came in here not too long ago, time goes by fast. I spoke to one of them about it, and they seem to be quite interested. And I haven't done it yet, but I said, I'll talk to Sister Brooke about that, and she can come and show you how it works. That's important too. But then so are those times of praise and worship. These new ones come in. We want them to learn to worship and praise God. We want them to learn that they also need to sit down and be taught the Word of God. We want them to also learn about the importance of evangelism. Let's stand to our feet tonight. Amen. And that's the purpose of the church. And don't let the devil get you to thinking, we're not gaining any ground. Nothing's going on around here. Look at all these empty seats. You just might as well shut her down. You might as well shut the lights down. You might as well shut the lights out on Sunday night. Nobody's interested. Nobody wants to be here. The devil is a liar. Amen. And we need the Spirit of God in the church. We need the Word of God in the church. And we need to be a church that reaches out in evangelism. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray that you will help us this night, God. Lord, that we as a body of believers here will have all three of these working together, God. Lord, where we won't be too much one way or the other, God. We'll evangelize like you want us to evangelize. We'll teach and preach like you want us to teach and preach. God, we'll also praise and magnify and lift up your name and worship your name like you want us to, oh God. Lord, that we can be pleasing unto you, God. Lord, the purpose for the church, God, this wasn't our idea. God, the purpose of the church, it was your idea. It's instituted in the Word of God. Lord, and we want to carry it through to the best of our ability with your help, oh God. Lord, that the church will be the way that you want it to be. Father, in the name of Jesus. I don't know if this song is in that book that you have. 'Tis a glorious church without spot or wrinkle. Amen. We'll sing that in closing today. Is it in the book that we have, or is it just in the old book that we have? Does anybody know? Amen. It's a glorious church without spot or wrinkle, washed in the blood of the Lamb. Amen. No. Amen.
Glorious church.
It's a glorious church. Does anybody know how that song, what the title of the song would be? We're all looking here. I'm looking in the old book.
It's not in there.
It's in this old book. I think a lot of you know the words in this old brown book that we got rid of except for up here on the platform. 'Tis a glorious church without spot or wrinkle, washed in the blood of the Lamb. Amen. 'Tis a glorious church. That's what God's coming back for. He's coming back for a busy church. Amen. He's coming back for a busy church. And he wants us to be balanced. He wants us to take the whole Word of God. And it all works together. Amen. But I trust you understood what I shared with you tonight. Yes, we believe in exalting and worshiping Jesus. magnifying his name, getting lost in his presence. We love to do that. But we also are a church that believes in the teaching and the preaching of the Word of God, of warning those that are amongst us of the judgment and the wrath of God, expounding the Word of God unto them. And we're also a church that believes in evangelism. We reach out into the Dominican Republic, Haiti, and Cuba, but reaching out into our own community through the park, through Facebook Live, any other ideas you might have, you can come to me. There's a world that needs one for Jesus. And you get all of these together, and you're going to have the kind of church that God wants you to have. Father, we thank you for this night, for this time of being here. Lord, as we're getting ready to leave here, God, we pray that your presence goes before us, that you'll help us, God, Lord, to put this to practice in our lives, God, that we'll love all parts of the reason of the church, God. Some we might prefer over others, God, but we've got to do these things. It's how you instituted the church, what you instituted the church for. That we'll take that into our hearts, God, in the name of Jesus. Bless each one this week. Keep your hand upon us, God. There'll be those traveling this week on the highways. Keep your hand upon them, your hand of protection, God. Your blessing upon us, God. Lord, those that are sick and afflicted, lift them up this night. Those that are downhearted and discouraged, God, that they'll be encouraged in the God of their salvation this night. Lord, we thank you for it. And everybody said, amen. God bless you.